Hi, welcome to this evening's Monday night call-in conference. A few things I do want to talk about tonight. I think we're at a point where we're starting to get a lot of people who may be coming for the purpose of making trouble. And a lot of people have a lot of misinformation. It's extremely important that we don't have misinformation. If people are acting, doing different things and the wrong things particularly, we're just going to have chaos instead of a good organization working towards saving this country through these common law grand juries that we're constructing and building throughout the nation. So I really want to kind of touch there for a few minutes and talk about that. I could tell you that everything we're doing here and everything we've been doing for actually 4 years now, we were working on a political problem, trying to solve the problem through the committee man, and of course we shifted gears. And we were working on the common law side too for quite some time. But of course we shifted our focus when we realized the power of the common law grand jury. We've done our homework. We've talked to people. We've looked at different sides and different ways to deal with, how to organize it, how to put it together, what is the honorable way to do it. We took a lot of points from Bill Thornton, for those who know Bill Thornton, and we got all of Bill's work up on our website under Common Law. And he was the guy that we learned the court of record from. We got a lot of information from him. But we also look back into history, and everything we do on this website, we back it up. Everything we teach, we have backed up. It's right on the website. People need only just to study and read. Thomas Jefferson said that if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. We can't just go into a grand jury and become grand jurors and not think that we have to become re-educated. We have been taught all of our lives to be slaves. We've been taught all of our lives to be obedient to the powers that be. And we kind of haven't focused in on many of the problems for most of our life. And now, these past years, we've come to realize that there's a very grave danger hovering over this country. And it's been here for quite some time. But now many of us over the past years have come to realize something is wrong, seriously wrong. And we're trying to figure out how to fix it and how to deal with it. And, of course, I believe that we have found that solution. But I want to tell you, if we think we can be ignorant and work this solution, then we're only fooling ourselves. We will fail. We will fail. We will not be successful if we do not do our homework. As much as we think that we understand and know anything, we need to reconsider everything we think we know. And we need to look back at history. We need to look back at the wisdom of our founding fathers. We need to look and see how the grand jury was formed and what kind of power. Now, I hear a lot of stories out there, and some people are running with certain things. And of course, we also have a lot of resistance coming from different places. It's kind of in the background at this point. People aren't aware of it, but it'll surface eventually. And the only thing I can say is when you listen to people, look for consistency. I think we're very consistent here. When we make a mistake, we will say it. We won't continue to build on a mistake. We are trying to work off of principles. And if we're hypocrites, I think over time it'll show that we're hypocrites. So I think over time the opposite is true also. If we're not hypocrites, that'll show also. So the only thing I could say is trust what we're telling you until you know for yourself. Check it out yourself. Verify. Study. Read. Listen to the programming that we have. We have plenty of tapes. We have tapes on American history. We have tapes on the Constitution. We have tapes on the Court of Record. We have plenty of video. We have all of the great works downloadable in PDF on document page. We have all of the founding documents. We have the Magna Carta. We even have some Bible studies. And that's where the principle starts. You know, I want to bring up two verses, Matthew 5, verse 25, where we read, "Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." Now, there's another verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, makes it clear who that adversary is. We read, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So, of course, Satan ultimately in this world works through people. There are some people that are just evil. They are evil. And anybody that, well, that video we just played, I hate to call it a motivational video, but it certainly is to me. That's kind of been in the back of my mind for a long time, those type of things. And I don't think on them too often. I don't dwell on them too often. I don't even go out looking too much for those kind of things because I'm busy really just studying common law, studying our founding fathers, looking at the Bible, looking at other common law documents, and praying for wisdom and building this site. And I know there is a lot of other people that are doing the same thing. They're working diligently, building up their counties, building up their states, diligently seeking to get grand juries going. And a lot of them are studying common law. Those of us that are going to be leaders, those of us that are going to teach others, we have to know what we're talking about. We have to study. We have to read. We have to listen to these videos, these lectures. We have to become educated. If we expect to be ignorant and free, you can't have it. You cannot be free and ignorant. Now, we have coming to our meetings, I don't know how many people we have here today. We've got about 53 people today. And normally we're up around those numbers, 50, 60 people, sometimes 40 maybe. But a lot more people say they're going to come and then don't make it. We have a lot more people that RSVP, but then they don't make it. So they have good intentions, but then they don't follow through. But we have over 500 people now, or about, well, close to 500, I think. I haven't looked. It may be over 500 now. We may have. If not, we're very close to 500. That have signed up, and more than half of them, or about half of them, have signed up to be leaders. So we have about 250 leaders, and yet we only have 53 people that are coming to this meeting. We have to reach out to those people and let them know they need to come to these meetings, because we discuss the important things of the day, what's going on. We're discussing and really trying to push forward the elections. We share information, details that are very important for people to know, especially when we get to the questions and answers. We always try to do something in the beginning to really kind of give some kind of knowledge or something concerning what we're doing. And we try to give updates, which, by the way, I believe we have 35 states. So 35 needs 15 left to take the whole nation to be working. You know, of course, we have 35 states that have initiated the process within their state in at least one county. And we're growing very rapidly, I believe. The website is really skyrocketing on its hits. So we do get a lot of people visiting. And we've been pretty consistent with that in growth. And it's just growing exponentially. That's simple. At some point, this thing is just going to burst. Now, there are a lot of people out there, and I don't know what their motivations are, that would like to lie to you and tell you things that aren't true. Particularly, you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. I'm telling you, they haven't done their homework. I don't know what their motivation is. And I'm asking everybody to trust the people here with National Liberty Alliance, and let's stay on course. Let's focus on what we have to do. And again, if we have error, we will get it corrected. We have a lot of people with a lot of great knowledge behind the scenes, and they agree we're right on the right path. And I'm sure if we make a mistake, they're going to tell us. As a matter of fact, I know they're going to tell us. And the process that we laid out, the program we laid out, the prescription we laid out is right on point. It's the honorable thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And some people might want to try to bypass some of this stuff, and it's a huge mistake, a huge mistake. Some people are trying to get control or trying to go through, and this is just something that they haven't looked into and haven't considered maybe, but, you know, you can't go talk to your sheriff right now because you don't have power. The sheriff's not going to talk to you. He's going to go talk to the attorney and find out what, you know, the county attorney and find out, you know, what's going on. You know, these people here approaching me. We had a situation, and I talked with the people who were doing it. It was just an error, and they realized that they shouldn't be doing it. But I want to use this as an example because this is important. You can't go talk to your sheriff. First of all, you're going to get the county attorney focusing in on you. And the last thing we really need, we're still under the radar to begin with anyway. At least I believe we are. I could be wrong on that, but I think we still are. But these people are not going to listen to you because we're nobodies yet. They ignore us. They treat us terribly. They don't treat us like people. And they treat us like criminals, as a matter of fact, as if we're the enemy of righteousness or the enemy of liberty. But in any event, there is a process. And everybody has got to learn it. If you haven't taken the course, you must take the course. And we have to get in touch with the people who are not coming to these meetings to tell them, look, I don't know if you took the course or not, but you got to take the course. You know, you can't go and construct this and just do it any way you want to do it. We have to be consistent, and we should be doing it the same way. Yeah, there could be a few different ways we can do the election, and so. But look it. We got to stay on focus, and we got to do the right thing, okay? And the first order of business is to get access into that court, and that comes after the election when we file. And the second order of business is to get that judge in line. That's the big battle right there, getting into the court so we have a seat in the jury room and putting the judge back into the common law process. When we accomplish that, the second next step after that is dealing with the prosecutor and then the sheriff. And if you bypass that, you can't go straight to the sheriff. You can't go to the prosecutor. You can't do anything, and you can't say anything, and you have no power, no authority until you file the papers and take a seat in that courthouse. And without taking a seat in that courthouse, you have nothing. And some people, we're going to get to some counties that will deny us. And they'll try to fight us. And that's okay. We'll have some. But we will deal with them because the other counties next door will indict them for interfering with the people's business. And we will get you into that court, into a seat into that courthouse. And we will indict anybody that gets in the way of that. So a lot of counties will go through and some counties may not go through, but we will force that issue. That's a plan we'll deal with as we get to it, and we'll talk about it as it comes up, and we'll help everyone to do what has to be done. But there are people that are going to start, I believe it's going to start hitting soon, where we're going to get a lot of people that may even join our ranks and start saying we're doing everything wrong, and you have to do certain things, you have to jump through certain hoops, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And we say, you don't have to do anything. You're the people. If you want to mop the floors, mop the floors. You own this country, and if you want to rule it, then you get up there and you take up the authority of a grand jurist and become a foreman or someone that's working towards the investigations of what's going on in this country and work with the grand jury, become a grand jurist, and take control, okay? And that's what we need to do. When we take control and we bring us back to common law, the fiction is irrelevant, totally irrelevant. You can call yourself a citizen if that's what you want, and it's irrelevant because the fiction isn't there no more. Now, I agree until you get there, that fiction is there, but nevertheless, you don't have to give up your driver's license. You don't have to give up your voter's registration card. You don't have to give up your social security number. You don't have to do these things. Nothing could be expected. The impossible cannot be expected of anyone. And you can't live a life without these things. I know someone who did all of that, all of it, everything, but he's afraid to drive because he doesn't want to go to jail. And unless someone picks him up and drives him somewhere, he doesn't go anywhere. I think that's a little hypocritical to begin with, okay? I don't know. You, you can't spend your life in jail. So, I mean, look, it. We have to focus in on what we have to do. We're very close, and we're doing it, and that's where we have to. That's what we have to do. We just got to keep going forward. We are trying to build this whole thing on principles, and without building these things on principles, we're not going to get anywhere. We will not be blessed, surely. And again, we bring this up often. We have to have a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And those are the principles we build upon. What people need to understand, some people say that we can't have it. We have to go, we can't have grand juries without getting permission. Only slaves get permission. And we're going to look a little bit about what Scalia said about this and some of the authorities that he quoted concerning this. This is well established. He makes the point. This stuff is well established and nothing has ever gone against it. Never has the grand jury ever been questioned where it stuck. Yeah, it's been questioned. It's gone to the Supreme Court to consider whether they should overrule a grand jury. And every case, they said, no, we can't do it. And Scalia made that point. They can't do it because it's the right of the people. They could make a mistake if they want. That's what the people do. We all of us make mistakes. It is what it is. But the courts cannot interfere with that. Okay, so, you know, I'm afraid that we may start to get some confusion when other people start coming in and talking about different things. And the question becomes is how we deal with these people. I mean, I don't want to ask anyone to leave or throw anyone out, but if they become too unruly and we can't get our job done, we may have to consider doing something like that. But I think we may get to this point. I think it's coming soon. Those are the type of things as we start to really grow and move quickly with our numbers, the enemy is going to come in. Naysayers, people who maybe they have alternative motives. Maybe the enemy itself is infiltrating us. I don't know. And I haven't figured out some of the people I'm aware of that are causing some problems in the background that people generally don't know about. And it's not a big problem, but it's just I can see how it's going to become maybe a big problem. But we are really trying to work this thing out in an honorable way. And the moment we stop being honorable, then we have a problem. So I think that will be your ruler to consider who we are and where we are. We discuss everything in the open. We let everyone talk. So if they have any questions, even if it's negative, you know, we'll go through it. But, you know, enough is enough when you keep coming up with the same question over and over again. We got to move on. If they don't want to accept the facts that we lay out, then they don't, you know, fine. But let's just move on. And we can still work, continue to work together. But in any event, we have to be careful and we have to really do our homework. Everything we teach here, you should be checking out on your own. It's your duty. You don't believe me. I mean, yeah, you can take my word to grow and move on, but you check me out as you go along. And if we do have errors, you know, you can bring it to our attention, and we'll look at it, and if we have an error, we'll correct it. But, you know, there really isn't much more than what we've been teaching, and we know that what we're teaching is right on the mark. We're right there, right where we belong. Once the grand jury start moving, it's up to the 26 or so people in the room, all on their own, to make the decisions on what they think needs to be done from their perspective in their counties. You're free people, and you have to think it out. But, you know, again, we always have to remember we're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with people's lives, their futures. And so every time we make a decision, we need to make a decision that we can go to sleep on, that we won't be awake because we made the wrong decision. And the only way, I believe in my heart, that you can make the right decision is if you keep into your mind constantly, we have to have a sense of justice. We have to discover justice. We have to study justice. We have to understand what justice is. We have to have a sense of honor. We have to study honor. We have to look at it. We have to understand it. We have to have a sense of mercy. And we can't confuse mercy with a bleeding heart, so to speak. You know, just however you might want to understand that. I don't know how else to describe that. But times when there needs to be mercy. And we have to think about it.
And the common respect for everybody and their own ideas of their own liberties. And to give everyone that same respect.
So everybody has to do their homework. You got to go, if you haven't gone through workshop, you got to go through the workshop. And if you don't want to cover, you know, the election process, that's fine, as long as someone else in your group is covering that and handling that. Because once we get past the election process, we're going to remove that information to another area where people can go look at it. But once we're done, you know, we don't need it there no more. And the workshop will probably be broken. And also the plan. You know, once the plan is being executed, we have a big, you know, plan of what we want to do when we take power. And so once we take power, you know, and generally most of the counties have grand jury in place, we'll move those things out of there. And so people coming in will only have to do a 4-hour workshop. But it doesn't stop there. It shouldn't stop there. We should be motivated to go forward, to learn as much as we could learn. Let me say it again, what Jefferson said. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. You're expecting what never was and never will be. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to have it. So anybody that thinks they can bypass the program that we put together, and if they don't like our program, go study common law and whatever you got to do, but get to understand the principles that you have to have to be doing this, and to understand the process and how important this is. What is a crime? You know, everybody needs to understand what a crime is. If there is no injured party, there is no crime. And anybody who sits on a jury and doesn't understand that principle, boy, they're gonna make hell out of someone else's life. And it's wrong. You know, you can't correct people's sins. You can't tell people how to behave as long as they're not hurting anyone else. And, you know, if they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing and they're doing it in public, like I would say, you know, if anybody taking drugs in public, you know, that could be a crime because they're corrupting the morals of our minors who are walking the streets. Okay, and that's a crime. That is a crime. In my book, that's a crime. But in the privacy and whatever they're doing in their life, that's their business. We can't get in the way of that. And if we can't get past that realization, we have a problem. Because you can't have liberty. If you don't let them have their liberty, whether you approve of it or not, you cannot have your liberty. Because that's what's going to wedge into your life and start making your, then the people are going to start controlling your behavior. So we have to understand these things and we have to realize that. But the big thing right now is I think we're getting to a point where certain people are looking and realizing us. They have different points of view and they either want to cause problems or they want to try to join forces, or I don't know what they want to do, but they're too opposite of what we're thinking. And so all we say is just look to see if we're being honorable. See if we go through our website, see what we've got, look for consistency, and judge with your heart and mind at the same time. But I'll tell you what, we have to stay the course. We don't have much time. I put that video on, I just got that today, just minutes before I came on, and I just kind of breezed through it, and I thought, well, hey, you know, this is where we're heading, and I think we're very close to that, what that video was telling us about. I think we're very close to that, and we need to do something now. All right, anyway, that's pretty much my speech. I just want to say, again, we have 35 counties. We're growing very quickly and rapidly, and we need to stay on point. We need to tell everybody that's not coming to these meetings, they need to be, you know, if some people can't make these meetings, and that's fine because they got other things, duties in life that they just can't make it here. But nevertheless, okay, they need to be going through and studying. They need to be understanding the things on the site that we're teaching concerning this process. And we need to take it beyond the 8 hours. And at the bottom of the 8 hours, you will see that we have more. Matter of fact, let me go there real quick, by the way. Just for everyone to know, I decided, and I did this just the other day, I put a link for jurist orientation right here. Okay, so that'll take you to the page that was called private. It's no longer private. Too many people just aren't realizing it, and then we have to go through giving them the page links. But in any event, this is the page. You can get it off the left side. And so anybody can view this. But as you go through this, as you can see down on the bottom, let me try to skip all the way down the bottom, we have further studying that we suggest. And you can see it right here. We have constitutional courses. We have common law courses. We have American history lectures, great American history lectures. We have court access studies, and we have Bible studies. So people should continue their education. And again, you know, we have tremendous amounts of documents, tremendous amounts of reading material. You can go to here for documents and books, okay? We have a lot of stuff here, okay, different categories of stuff, but we have a lot of stuff here, founding documents, autobiography, 17th century philosophers. I mean, there's a lot of material here. And so people should be studying and reading. We should know what we're doing. We need to get back the understanding that we desperately need in order to be able to really be free. Now, I don't want to make it complex to be a grand juror or a trial jury, because it's not complex at all. That really gets down to the basics, certain principles, the three principles that we mention all the time, to really focus in on that, and then just really think out the problem and use your heart at the same time, and you talk it out as a group, and we will figure it out, and we will figure out solutions that we can go to sleep on, and we won't be rolling all night because we made the wrong decision. Okay, with that, I guess we'll open up for conversations. Oh, no, let me go through this very quickly. This is the paper that we're going to file, and I'm going to ask people to read this on their own. I might read a couple of lines here, but this is the paper that we send in designating the fact that declaring the fact that a common law jury is now in this particular county. This is the paper you file, and everybody should read this very carefully. And anybody that thinks that what we're teaching is wrong, or anybody thinks that the common law jury needs to get permission from a government, or has to talk to the prosecutor or to the sheriff or something, or get legislative approval, if that's what you think, then you haven't read this document. It's so important that you read this document. And it lays it out clearly with all the proof of what the grand jury is. All this stuff down here, most of it is coming in from the Williams case, the United States versus Williams. Okay? And the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside. You don't have to talk to a judge. You don't have to talk to a court. The Fifth Amendment demands a traditional, functional, common law grand jury, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside. Well, that's a redundant thing. I'll have to fix that. But we think it clear that, as a general matter at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists rooted in the long centuries of Anglo-American history. The grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. Let me repeat that. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. These are not my words. I didn't make it up. This comes right out of the case of United States versus Williams. And we also have a footnote. And this Scalia gave us references. He said United States versus Channon. Okay? And so this comes from other cases and from history. All of this information that we find in here, Scalia gave us references to it. And so it wasn't he that just came up with these ideas, you know. He has been studying this for quite some time, I'm sure, and he's building off 200 years of history and more, as a matter of fact, because it goes back even into the Magna Carta. It goes on, and in fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or a referee between the government and the people. You can't get any more clearer than this. Anybody who thinks you have to get permission, anybody who thinks that you have to get legislative permission, anybody who thinks that the legislators could stop you from doing this, Well, you're wrong. You got it wrong. You know, I know the state of Washington, and I think maybe Montana or Missouri or Montana. I think it was Missouri.
Montana's another one.
Montana's another one? Okay. So there's three of them out there? Missouri, too?
I think there's three of them, but I know Montana, and for sure, we got a guy here asking a question on that, claiming that's to be true.
Okay, so we have three states that one of them has, I think Washington's the one that has it in their constitution, that they have to get the approval of the judge. Wrong. They do not have to get the approval of the judge. That is null and void. Marbury versus Madison, 1803, which stands today, probably the most quoted case in American history and has never faltered, has never been overturned, any part of it. The case still stands to this very day, okay? And it says any rule, law, or well, anything repugnant to the Constitution, even if it's in the Constitution of a state, doesn't matter. Any law, any rule, any statute, anything repugnant to the Constitution is null and void, period. So the state of Washington is wrong, and they will not get away with it. And we, as the grand jurors, yep.
Let's not forget that that was a Supreme Court decision, Scalia's decision, which would override that state rule, that state constitution.
Yes. Oh, then there's plenty of rulings that we can use for this. So, and that is one of them. You're right. So the point is this. We have to stop thinking like slaves. We have to stop going to mommy and daddy to asking them, you know, what could we do, what we can't do. As long as we continue in that mode, we're never going to be what we're setting out to be. And that is free and independent. And so we have to start thinking for ourselves. We have to realize, let me make this point very, very, very clear. Okay, this is extremely important. And this is foundational. Okay, there are lawyers who will tell you, and there are judges who think and will tell you, and they're taught this in school, they're brainwashed thoroughly in their schools, and in their whole system, and in their whole process, so the whole thing is just total control, okay, and they will tell you that common law was done away, I believe, in the late or the mid-1800s, and then confirmed and totally destroyed, I think, sometime in the early 1900s. Okay, now they could think that they've done that in their nisi prius courts, but it has no control. You can't change nature. You can't change the nature of God, and you can't change the will of God. We receive our rights from God. They're unalienable. We didn't get it from the legislators. Legislators can't take it away from us. They can do whatever they want, but it's irrelevant, and it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Now, they will have their way in the nisi prius courts, but when you get them into a common law court, they will not have their way. And that's the key to this whole thing. So a lot of people think that, oh, common law is done away with. Well, let me tell you what. If common law is done away with, then the American experiment is over. America is done, and there is no hope. And unless we step up and stand up for common law, there is no hope. You know, some people might even view the common law with a fear or as a curse or something because, they hear of people that go to jail from time to time from certain things, but not doing what we're doing. No one has ever gone to jail starting a grand jury. Now, I know a grand jury has been indicted for doing evil things, but that's about it. Now, the bottom line is that, you know, getting up to move forward with a grand jury, it's not a jail. Now, let me tell you, I don't know what they're going to do when we step up all across the nation as a grand jury, okay? But because they're going to feel very threatened, and we'll just see what's going to happen. But here is the foundational point. Your heritage is common law. I have looked at this to find out what is really our heritage. What is our heritage? And you know what? There's only one answer. Your heritage is common law. Your inheritance from our founding fathers, when they were concerned about their posterity, your inheritance is liberty. But your heritage is common law. And we have to build off that principle, and we have to bring it back into the minds of the people. And again, you know, we have to re-educate all of us who have gone through schools. We have to recapture our schools back, and we have to teach our children what their true heritage is and what they have inherited. But that'll only happen if we do our job and we step up. There is hell heading here to this country very soon. The devil is busy working, and we saw that video earlier on the camps, and that's what's heading our way. And there's only one thing possibly can stop this, only one, and that's the will of God on first and foremost, and that'll be working through the grand juries. And the question becomes, are we going to stand up righteously? Are we going to stand up in justice? Are we going to do the honorable things as we move on? And going back to that, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou was in the way with him, you know, we need to go in making friends. We need to agree with the devil and his work. Look at, once the devil's under control, what do we care? He can do whatever he wants as long as we can control him. So when you go in, you know, we're not going in on a witch hunt. We're going in to try to convince these judges that they need to obey the law. And I believe they will. And we'll agree with them. And we will befriend them. And everything will be fine as long as they don't break the law. And again, some of them is going to go to jail for other reasons, and that's not our concern. You know, that's going to happen because people are going to come tell us a story about them, and we're going to have to indict them then. And we're here to befriend even the prosecutor, and we're here to befriend the sheriff. The sheriff may not agree with you right now, but when you sit in the power of the grand jury, he is going to jump through the hoops that you put out. He will do it because he knows. It doesn't even matter what a lawyer, what the district attorney says. It doesn't matter what the governor says. It doesn't matter what the president says. For that sheriff, what matters is what the grand jury says, because nobody can put that man in jail, or woman, but the grand jury. Nobody can put him in jail. Nobody. Not the governor, the president, the prosecutor, the courts, the judge. Nobody. Only the grand jury can indict him. And therefore, he is going to listen to the grand jury, so we don't have to worry about him. And he's gonna really appreciate the grand jury as time goes on, because he's gonna understand and he's gonna see and he's gonna agree. And we're gonna be working together to protect this nation, to county by county. All right. Sorry for being so long, but I guess that brings me to the end of that. We'll open up for conversations. So Gerard, I don't know if you have any questions in text you wanna respond to, or Lee or me or whatever. Go right ahead. Well, then we'll go to, then we'll go to raise hands. Do you want to go to hands first?
I think most of the stuff in the text Lee and I have taken care of. I'm going to go through and erase the ones we answered. But you got some hands up for quite a while out there. So
okay, so who should I open someone up, and we'll go from there?
Sharon, she's been up a long time there. Let me see. There you go, Sharon Hansen. Go ahead, you're open. Are you there, Sharon? Sharon Hansen. Put your mic on. Maybe she stepped away.
All right, leave a mic open and we'll go to someone else.
All right.
Lou Aliota. His hand's been raised for 45 minutes.
Oh, how you doing, Lou? Go right ahead. You got a question, a comment, or...
No, guys. Thank you. I was just responding to your comment in the very beginning.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get some conversation going. So, if anybody has any questions, you know, by all means, raise your hand and ask them. If you want to ask them in the text area. You can write a type of message, and someone will read it out. I see a lot of explanation points out there. Is that mean that there's something in text or something?
No, actually, that means that they are non-attentive, apparently. Oh. It looks like Sharon's headset is not working. She's going to ask it in the chat area.
Okay. Anyway, anybody has anything, mics are open, so just raise your hand. Go ahead, Gerard.
You know, as far as where this country's at and what we need to do, and the resistance that we may get for setting up grand juries, like in some states like Montana and Washington, where they say that no grand jury will be issued unless, you know, unless it's called for by the prosecutor. That's certainly a lot better battle to fight, easier, with the people coming together and doing it anyway. I can't see how they could stop you. You could use that Scalia ruling as a banner, so to speak, and I don't think they'd dare come after you. And that's still an easier fight than a revolution. You know, it is a revolution in a certain sense, because this is the people standing up. And don't forget, you know, you're not alone. Montana's not going to be alone. Washington's not going to be alone. We're all going to be out here. They're going to be very hesitant to tell the people that they can't have a common law grand jury, and how are they going to stop it? I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, I heard that there is precedences for grand juries going out after other states. So, you know, if we have 50 states or even 40 states, and Washington has a problem, believe me, you're going to have 40 states working with you, and we're going to put the pressure
absolutely
on those guys. We will pull them out of their state. They won't be able to stick their foot out of their state, that's for sure, but we will be able to get them from out of state. And you, as grand juries, will indict them. You know, even though they refuse your papers or whatever the case may be, okay, you'll stand up and indict them. But
yeah, there'll be lots of ways of getting them. I mean, at that point, we'll have provost marshals in and all kinds of things like that. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface here of what the people can do. Now, don't forget, the federal constitution, the job is to protect the state's, you know, rights. The federal has every right to step in when a state steps on the rights of the people. You know, that's the checks and balances of power. Well, guess what? Who is the federal? It's us. It's we the people. We're the same as the federal. When we come up and say we want a common law grand jury, you know, that's the people have spoken. So they're going to have a hard time. You know, this is another smoke and mirrors thing that they throw up, and they like to get somebody that looks like he's got a lot of authority. He's a federal judge, and he gets up there with his jowls gone. You and, you know, as soon as you come up against him, it's like poof. It's like turning the light on, and the monster goes away. He goes back under the bed. And and that's my prediction. I don't think they're going to get too crazy about it, because I don't think they dare. You know, they're going to have to deal with us.
Okay, Tracy, you've had your hand up. Your mic is open. Tracy O'Halloran, are you there?
While we're waiting for Tracy, I got Jesse open too. So Jesse, go right ahead and. Tracy will go after.
I just want to make some comments and also a question. One of the comments that I wanted to relate to everybody is that I'm waiting for Lancaster City, my county, you know, I live in, but the city itself, because the county would not let me have a room, the county government, but the city has a council chambers, and I put in the application last week. With the required fee, and they were supposed to get back to me today or tomorrow at the latest. So once I know I have that, then I will, you know, fill out that email that you sent everybody of the time, date, and place. But I just want to make sure that I have the room, because I filled out all the paperwork and everything on the 05 zip download zip, changed everything from Dutchess County to Lancaster County, and that date, as long as they don't mess the room up and not give it to me. So it looks like we're going to be going for it. I'm still reaching out to other people in the county, trying to you know, get the proper witnesses there to validate the election. And
You'd like to work with at least two other people, so you have three witnesses. But and, of course, more is more better. But go ahead, finish off, and I'll respond.
Yeah, and I also I have a structure that worked down for our counties, because I said about how we have townships and boroughs. I looked up today all of the boroughs in the county, and I wrote down the numbers and their hours that they're open. And so as soon as I know for a fact, I have a map and everything of, you know, how to go around to the 19 different boroughs in the county and post the public notices. And the other question that I had is the grand jury, is it going to take over from the district attorneys and stuff, and there's a criminal case and they want to indict somebody? Will there still be two different types of grand juries, you know, one that is by the district attorney and panel to take a look at something, or a judge, or are they going to have to come to the grand jury?
Yeah, I understand your question. Let me first respond a little bit to what you said a little earlier. And yeah, as soon as you get a date, you get it to us, and make sure it's confirmed, and then we'll post it. And of course, if you do make a mistake or they change it, you can always let us know. We'll change the date and notify everybody on the meetup. But we do want to post this on the meetup for a couple of reasons. First of all, of course, if anyone joins up that's in your county or even assist the county, they have the opportunity to connect with you and show up. Here in New York, a lot of us are going to other elections for other counties. We're supporting them. We're getting to know the leaders, the people involved, but we want to get a good relationship, and we want to appreciate each other, what we're doing together. And we know that we have to work in numbers. So we decided here in New York, particularly in our area, that we need everything south of Albany before we actually file. And that's about 17 counties. And we've got those 17 counties. Every one of them is moving towards, with the exception of one, Gerard, Delaware, next to you. Just wanted to say that. But that's the only one we haven't got yet. But we have 17 counties. Westchester just signed on today, so that was the last of the counties. Oh, no, there is one other, but no, it's being worked on right now. Nassau's coming in, so we got that. So we got every county now. And so once we're all elected, and so to speak, that the people agree and elect the process. It's not the grand jury they're electing. They're electing the process. And that's all for putting on a good show and being honorable and notifying the county, notifying everybody in the county by paper and by posting and so on and so forth. It's the honorable thing to do. And when people show up, you invite them into the process, and this is the people's business. And so, but you have to get to know your sister counties. Especially once you're ready for your election, and you get all the papers posted and you're ready and waiting for that election, spend the time in sister counties. Don't worry too much about as long as you got 3, 4, 5, 6 people, that'll grow as time goes on. And remember, your sister counties, you can share people from there. You know, we'll be sitting on each other's juries from time to time because they're shorthanded or whatever the case may be, or they need people with knowledge of whatever the case may be that's going on. We have a certain amount of people that have a good knowledge on common law and procedures and different things. So, we'll need them in order to direct and teach and learn and show the others. But in any event, okay, we need to support each other. There's power in numbers. And if we don't stand up together, we're going to fail. So ultimately, our goal is to get every county in our state. And so our job is not done when we get our county done. We have to put our attention towards others. Once everything's done, you don't want to file until you get maybe a half a dozen or more counties around you together, working together as a block. Because when one county has a problem, the other five or so can jump in and help that county, and we can make it work. So that's that. Now, as far as the grand juries from they're puppet grand juries. They cannot continue. And, we're going to freeze up the system. We know that because we don't have enough people to really be able to give to the courts their needs in the beginning. But you know what? We have to make a very serious decision. Can we allow the fraud to continue, or are we just going to kind of put the brakes on the court system and not allow the fraud to continue? And I think that's what it's going to be. And we'll have to get onto a campaign, a phone campaign, calling people to get them into the grand jury pool throughout our county. There's different kind of campaigns and ideas that we've got we'll be talking about soon. And there are other people who have other ideas, and they can share those ideas. How do we get the people, the general public, interested in this and to come up, step up, and do things? And I think the momentum is when it hits the newspapers, when they can't keep it out of the newspapers anymore, they can't keep it off of network TV no more, I think that's when the floodgates are going to happen. Now, that's why it's so important to get the core people involved. the people who are going to run things and become and are educated and educating themselves, that are going to become the foremans and the secretaries and other people working with them that might be also full-time individuals in this process, get those people in place so that we can handle the people coming in, making sure that they get educated with at least that four-hour orientation, and hopefully we'll entice them to go further. But at least that four-hour orientation is so important so that they understand, you know, what the law is, you know, and what the law isn't, and they understand what a crime is, and that they understand that we're there not only to deal with people who break the law and try to rectify that, but we're also there to reinstate the individual, the injured party. The restitution is the bottom line of justice. And so that person who violated that other person, and however they did that, they have to pay restitution. And we have to figure out what is an appropriate restitution for different things. And, of course, we have to talk to the people to see what they think, especially the injured party. I mean, they're the one that really we have to listen to find out what they think restitution should be. And so anyway, they cannot continue. And we're going to talk more about that as we start to actually file and start to take power. We're going to talk about what we think people need to do and how we might be able to do it. Do you want to pipe in there, Lee?
No, obviously, I was just going to move on to some people who had their hands up.
Okay.
We are at a good point. Tracy was able to get her mic working. She had her hand up quite a while. Tracy, your mic is unmuted. Do you hear us, Tracy? Are you there?
And we'll leave you open, Jesse, for a while if you want to pipe in into a conversation or anything. But
okay, thanks.
Tracy, you with us? Now, who else do you want to open up? Leave Tracy open, and she could pipe in when she's got things working. Who else do we have?
Vivian Deinhart, are you still there? Do you have a question? I see you just lowered your hand.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
How you doing, Vivian?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, great. I have a question. In fact, I have two questions. I would like to know what happens after, let's say, there is a verdict from the grand jury. Who executes that?
Okay, well, the question really is an indictment. If there's an indictment by the grand jury, what happens? Well, when an indictment is made, the paperwork is sent to the court clerk. And it goes on sort of, for lack of a better word, it goes on to a conveyor belt. It goes through a process. And it works its way down to all the people that have to. But we're going to have to mute everyone. And if anybody wants to pipe in, because I'm hearing feedback. So let me mute everyone except Tracy and see. I mean, Vivian, and see what happens. If maybe it's Vivian. All right, let me try muting her, and I'll unmute you when I'm done with the question, see if you have. You know, with the answers, see if you have another question. But, you know, it goes into a process. No one can take it out of the file. It just has to move along the conveyor belt, so to speak. You know, it goes onto a scheduling for preparation, trial preparations. The prosecutor gets the paperwork, and they start to work out a case against the individual. And then, of course, you know, of course, the people are notified, and they are now working out a defense with their lawyers or whoever they however they're going to do this. Maybe they may represent themselves. Who knows? And then eventually, it gets onto the docket for a date for the court, and then the juries are picked as far as the trial jury is concerned. They start to work through that process, and then the trial goes forward. And I think most trials really only go a day or two or three. I mean, I think a three-day trial is pretty long. I know there are some trials that might go a week or two, but generally speaking, I think most trials are a day or two. And so it's not like a very long term. And that's the process. Once it goes into the court clerk, no one can stop it. Anyone who stops that is now violating people's unalienable rights. To begin with, the grand jury, also the victim, and many other things. No one can touch that. It's never been done, and it can't be done, and it will not be done. And anybody who tries to do it will indict them. And if it's the judge and he's trying to stop everything, he doesn't have the authority to do it anyway. And if we need be, there'll be grand juries to the right and to the left and to the north and to the south, and they will start indicting for on our behalf and pull them into their county if that's what's required to get justice moving and back again. But they're not going to do it. They're never going to take a file out of the file. They may think about it, but I don't think they'll ever do that. So, okay, let me unmute. Was that Tracy?
It was originally Vivian.
Okay, let me just unmute Tracy to see if Tracy wants to respond or have a follow-up question with that. Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, you can hear me. Okay, I didn't have anything to add to that. I had a separate question altogether, so I don't know if you wanted to unmute Vivian and have her respond to your answer.
Okay. Vivian.
No, that's we were waiting for Vivian, who had another question.
Well, maybe it was Tracy we were waiting for. But okay, yes. Who were we talking? Go ahead, Vivian.
I wanted to ask, what would be the answer to "Do you understand"?
Well, yeah, the answer is no.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
That simple. But remember, once we get back and turn to common law, we won't have that problem anymore because there'll be no more fraudulent courts, because that would be a wrongdoing, and the grand jury has a duty to fix all wrongdoings it comes in contact with. And so when we know that there's a wrongdoing, we're going to stop it. So there'll be no more you have to worry about fraud. Okay?
And is there a difference between people who are born in America and those who are not?
No, if you're a human being, you have unalienable rights, period. Once you come to America, they must be enforced whether you're a citizen or not. You get the rights of anybody else. They're unalienable. So, but now once you become a citizen, of course, you still have your rights. You know, everybody has unalienable rights, no matter where on the planet they're standing. It may be true that their government may not permit them to exercise them. They still have them. So, freedom starts with a state of mind. Liberty starts with a state of mind.
And okay. I heard also that the military can be involved also. Is that true?
Involved in what?
In executing an indictment?
No, the military
I think what she's talking about is whenever the grand jury or the common law court needs an arm. That arm can be the military, because the military, the army, is taking an oath to protect the people of the United States against enemies.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know that they can take any authority or movement here on our soil. That's why we have to have the militia back, and that's where the sheriff comes in, and the sheriff can call on the militia. And one of the things we definitely want to do when the sheriff comes in, to let him know that if you want to get the word out to the militia, or you want to deputize people because you need that kind of help, call the grand jury. We got a lot of networking going on with that kind of thing, and we'll be out there on the border with you if that's what you're calling us to do, because the people have to defend themselves and defend their county if that's what has to happen. So, but I don't know about this. I don't think you can have, our founding fathers was very concerned about a standing army. And I don't think we want to get a standing army involved in any kind of a thing, an enforcement, a military action, or anything on our soils. Only the militia. Now, I guess there's the also the Coast Guard, but that's offshore. And then there is the reserves. I'm not sure exactly how that works.
The National Guard, the State Guard.
Yeah, we have to look in to see how that works, and I don't have enough knowledge to comment too much further than that. So.
Yeah, it is very important to know who will enforce the law.
Well, definitely the sheriff. That's the guy. The sheriff will call the militia. You know, he'll deputize. And militia is anybody. Right now, I think, was considering... Let me just shut off here because I'm getting that feedback. And then we'll open back up in a second. right now, the militia, we need to reestablish the militia. We need to get the armories back up and running. We need to start stocking the armories back up with certain kinds of weapons, whatever the people think it is that they need there, and ammunition and so on and so forth. And it makes sense, considering the tensions and what's going on, that the sheriff runs the militia at least for a short period of time. We can't allow him to continue running that, but he can run that, and we can kind of let him lead that force for a while. And once we stabilize, then we can go back to really the militia controlling itself. But the sheriff can always call on to the people or to the militia to deputize in any kind of a situation. So I think that's why it would be wise to allow the sheriff to control until we stabilize. And everybody realizes we have some rough roads ahead coming, and we're a race against time right here with what we're doing. We're in a race against time. We have to make certain accomplishments, and we have to do it quickly before they do make their moves, and then we are unable to initiate what we're trying to initiate, which is to bring justice back into our courts and therefore back into America again. So, but once we get there, I think there's going to be some rough roads, and we're going to be counting on our sheriff to taking care of things within each county, and we're going to have to be right behind him on whatever he thinks we need to do. So we'll have to work that out. All right, let me open up. Did we ever talk with Tracy? Did we talk with you, Tracy? Are you done?
Ellie?
Yeah, go right ahead, Tracy.
Hi. My question is, this is, I'm pretty new. This is, we're a couple of weeks into things. So we're very hopeful, and I'm extremely excited. I notice when I go through the states, I see a few states that aren't really represented, or so it appears at this point. So I've been contacting through my little network of friends and people that I know who've expressed concerns and invited them to the calls and to some, information that I've collected, from your site and such. Is that the proper way? Because I really, want to get more people aware and on board.
Absolutely.
Is there a process that you prefer, or
what we found worked very well, to my surprise, was the video on the front page. If you send people to our front page and say, watch the video, that's a 45-minute video, but tell people when they got time, they got 45 minutes, get themselves a Coke and some popcorn and watch the video, okay? They watch the video, it seems everybody who watches the video responds positively. They realize it's the answer. They say it's the answer. They say, finally, there's something we can do. Now, it is true that not everybody who watches the video comes in, okay, because some people are just afraid to come in. And I always tell people everywhere, set your fear aside. Just do it. Just do it. Because, if you think you're frightened now, if we don't, just think what's going to happen if we don't do anything. We're going to be in Nazi Germany 1938, which is where we're at right now, but 1940, I guess. And right. They're going to be dragging people out of the house. There's no doubt that that's where we're heading, and we have to stop it. And so that's what we're trying to do to the best of our ability. But we also know that without the grace of God, we're not getting anywhere with this. We're taking a pebble, and we're going to take down the biggest giant ever with a pebble. I believe that's a good picture of it. Because really, this is so simple. Just step up and become a jurist. It's so simple.
Right.
So.
Someone just asked a question about a law of the military using against the American people. The National Defense Authorization Act, which is one that has greatly concerned me, right. As a common law grand jury, is that something that we can, begin to battle that issue? Because, surely that is unjust.
Well, absolutely. Look at the they can't pull martial law once we turn common law, because the sheriff's simply won't permit it. We'll first order of business with our sheriff is to let him know if there's a state emergency or anything comes up. You're the guy in charge. There's 62 of you guys. You better work together, although there's less than that because there's 7 counties without them, but we're going to get those guys back. But anyway, there's supposed to be 62. There's 62 of you guys. You got to work it out. You protect this county. Call in us. We'll come in. We got guns. You know, we'll get it through our network, and we'll get people that are the militia anyway, firemen, everybody. And whatever it takes, you know, we have an emergency with food, or we have the dollar collapses and maybe there's no electric or the services are minimum, and you know, we have brownouts or whatever you want to call them. But the last thing we don't want, and it's the sheriff has to understand, is there will be no military patrolling our streets. He cannot permit that. Whatever force he has to put upon that to prevent that from happening, believe me, no military is going to come up against the sheriffs, okay? I think they're going to say, wait, there's something really wrong here. Now, this right. Foreign troops will. We've got to get foreign troops off our soil. We have lots of foreign troops, and that's pretty devious. We need them out of here. Ron Paul's been yelling about them for, goodness, 8 years or so, maybe more. These guys got to go. They don't belong. We don't even want American troops, a standing army, on our soil. Yeah, we have training grounds and so on and so forth, and they have a service. But we don't really need a standing army, per se, to do anything on our soil. We need is the people, the militia. That's who will deal with the problem. So, yeah, we cannot allow any military maneuvers or movement or anything on our soil in our state.
So
let me just chime in here a little bit. Listen, we do have a plan as far as tackling different problems. In other words, you know, your jury foreman in each county will meet the jury foreman will meet with the jury foreman of every other county, and they will discuss the things that are common problems throughout the counties, and then we will go back and work on them, and that will happen eventually through the state and then through the nation. In other words, that's how we handle the federal government. All the states, we will get together, we'll pick a leader for each state, and then it will come back to the grand juries. And eventually, I mean, we may never even get that far, because once we take the counties back and the state back, the federal might just lay down and they're not going to.
Well, there's no doubt about it, because we take control of our, we then take control of our 2 senators, and we take control, in our case, of our 27 congressmen, and that's it. We've just taken Washington back when you have the majority through the majority states.
Right. And the other thing is all the states can indict, like they can indict on the NDAA. And each state could get all their grand juries. Imagine that document going up to the federal government and to the president with 3,142 signatures on it for each county in the United States. I mean, that's a powerful document.
Yes.
You know, they're not going to play with that. I mean, this is the people. This is the peaceful way. This is the people speaking with authority. And this is that brush fire. You know, we don't need the majority of the people. We just need that tireless minority that's going to act and do these things. I mean, right now, this whole stupid system that is coming down on us is really being run by a very small minority. Really, when you get down to it, they're a minority. So, you know, that's what we have to understand, and that is the plan. You know, we will coordinate where we have to coordinate. And we will coordinate only on those things that affect all of us similarly, which they do. Certain laws affect all of us. The income tax affects all of us. You know, those are issues that are going to be dealt with, you know, probably first on a statewide basis and then on a national basis. It's just the natural progression of things, and that's how it will go.
All right, I see 4 other hands up. I'm not sure who's next, but do you have anything final to bring up? And you can always ask some more later, but you got another question, Tracy?
I'm just very encouraged by everything that we're learning and what you guys just, you know, said in response to my question, and we're in it for the long haul, and thanks for starting the fighting the good fight.
All right, well, thanks for joining the good fight, and we'll work this out together. Only the people can save the country. As a matter of fact, that's what you see on our front page, is only the people can do this. Our elected officials cannot do it. Nobody you send to Washington or Albany is going to do it. In our case, Albany and New York. to your capital. Nobody's going to be able to do it or do it, only the people, and this is the only way. I know of no other way. So, all right, if you have another question, raise your hand again. Who was next? We got four hands
Ron.
Up. So.
Ron Ursum, it looks like, has had his hand raised for quite some time.
Go ahead, Ron. Ron Ursum? Ursum? Ursam?
Okay,
Ursam
is Charlie von Schleissen, it looks
How
like.
How you doing, Charlie? Yep. Charlie, you're up. You're up at bat. By the way, thanks for the mail I got today. Appreciate it.
Are you there, Charlie? Okay, next in line is Corey Townsend. He's on the phone, it looks like.
Corey, go right ahead.
Oh, hello.
How you doing, Corey?
Hey, John. I have a question. It's regarding a court of record. And, you know, so action is in suit. And say, for instance, you filed your counterclaim, but yet the you know, the administrative court still have a hold on you. Is there any place where you could, you know, on a website I could go where, because, you know, say, hey, I'm not a lawyer. You know, most of us aren't lawyers and, you know, people. So, you know, they do this day in and day out.
Right.
You know, and individuals like me and you, we go in there, you know, we are electricians, we're not lawyers, you know. Most of us stumble across this type of stuff, you know, catching a ticket, driving our car.
Right, there's a page called Common Law. As a matter of fact, you'll find it on the left side, and click on that, and you go to a page, and on that Common Law we teach, you know, we've got a lot of audios. But on that same page, you can leave Corey open. He's not causing any interference. Let me get to that page so everyone can see it. I know you can't see it, but everyone else can see it. If you go to the Common Law page, on the top of that page, you'll see there's some yellow tabs, and one of them is Court Access. And if you click on Court Access. That's a book we wrote, Court Access, okay? That's a book we wrote, okay, and we give a lot of information. But we wrote a book on how to access the court. We give a lot of examples and so on. Now, we had a page which we're working on also. So that Court Access page is something you want to devour. There's a lot of zips. So download all the zips, and it's tremendous amount of stuff. Okay. Now, there's another page that you want to look at also for this. And that is, goodness, what am I thinking of here? Court Access... well, Court Access and the Common Law. Those two pages particularly. But we have a... Oh, there is another page, yes. Let's see. American History, Constitutional... maybe I have it over here. Political, Judicial Process. Let's try Judicial Process. No, that's not it. That is that area. There is a page. Maybe I didn't open it up yet. I thought I had it up here and it's just under construction. We've done quite a few court cases, and we used to post all our court cases so you can read through them and you can kind of, you know, you can use them as a guideline to write a case. And so now we haven't reposted them. I just haven't had the time since we rebuilt the site. I haven't had the time to do that. But maybe in the next week I might be able to get to it and start posting these cases again and be able to use them. But bear in mind, you know, since we're so close to the grand juries, if you're thinking of filing a case, there's nothing wrong with filing a case, I guess, now. But bear in mind, things will change once the grand juries get involved and they force the judges to obey the law and common law is back into the courthouses again. It's going to be a lot simpler. And we're not going to have that
John,
uphill battle.
On the page, Court Access, there's a part that says, learn how to access a court without a lawyer.
Right.
Is that a link that I can click? Because I'm not sure if I'm trying to, but mine isn't.
Let me see. Where's that at?
It's on Court Access.
Yeah, but how far down? Is it on the top?
It's at the top, pretty much at the top. Maybe two lines down or so.
Oh, okay. No, these are not links. Yeah.
Okay,
it's just some things, you know, we had written concerning what the zips are. The zips, you'll get common law intro, court of record.
As a
matter of fact, these here are mostly audios, audios, they're MP3s, which you can also get them on the common law page. But once you get down here to the handbook, we have a court handbook. We have a paper on right to practice law without a license, challenges to town court jurisdictions. And so you can download all this. And then Court Access, I think, is the actual book itself that we wrote. And we also put together a court handbook, okay? And, you know, we'll be updating this. I'm going to talk with Lee. Maybe if Lee gets some time, he can go through this stuff. And I know that there's some places we could do better in these books, and we'll try to update them. And I'll try to get some time to get in there and do some updating, too. But I just can't put too much time into it right now. But it's great, okay. right? What you have right now is really good, I think. And it gives out the anatomy of a court case, you know. What papers do you have to file when you file a court case? You know, you have to deal with the index number. If you're going to do an RJI, which you try to stay away from in New York, no RJIs, you have to do the summons. You have to have the paper for your action at law. You have to have an affidavit for that. You have to have a certificate of service. So it gives you the anatomy, and then it goes through the process of the response and the anatomy of those parts, too, and how to make a motion and what the process is and
you know,
the paperwork
is
and everything.
You know, this information is really empowering.
Oh, yeah.
You know, John?
Oh,
because,
yeah.
And it's really sad because just the other day, you know, I ran into an attorney, and, you know, I just felt like asking. I asked, what is a counterclaim? And, you know, response was, I'm not too sure. I think it's something with, something with civil. And, you know, he was wide open, so I asked another question. I'm like, oh, so it's only regarding with civil? He said yes. And, you know, and this is an attorney, pardon me, not a lawyer, this is an attorney.
Uh-huh.
You know, and went to law school, and, it, you know, it's really sad. So, you know, this type of information, sometimes it could be a little bit discouraging because it deals with so much aspects of law.
Right.
You know, it's almost
what you got to understand, though, is common law doesn't get into all the BS that they get into because they're into statutes and stuff. Common law is really common sense. Okay, it's with maxims, truths, justice. That's what it's concerned with. It's really common law is interested in finding the injured party and discovering how to repair that injured party, and of course making sure that the person that injured them is guilty. You know, so and then working out a solution. And a lot of these cases just don't need to be going to court. Once they come to the grand jury for an indictment or considered indictment, really what we need to be doing all the time is try to negotiate a way out of this the person can go get restitution that was injured. So really we're acting as arbitrators more often than anything else. And then, of course, if we just can't arbitrate it, then we just send it to the trial jury to deal with, and that'll be that. But it gets back to this simple thing, which you were just saying a few minutes ago, and what I really was pushing heavily a little earlier tonight was, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's just not going to happen. Okay? That may be my quote, but I'll give you Jefferson.
No, that makes sense.
If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. That's a more accurate quote of Jefferson.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Benjamin Franklin said that you know, people will be ruled over either by tyrants or God. There's no other. That's it. Either you're going to be ruled over by God, and people are going to accept that, and that's where they're going to go, and then they can get justice, or they're going to be ruled over by men, and they're going to get tyrants. And that's the bottom line. There is no in-between. There's no other choice. You can't find men to rule over you righteously. It has got to be God. And that's common law, and that is our heritage.
I agree. Thanks, John.
Okay. Charlie, did you ever get back? Are you with us, Charlie? Your mic is open. Okay, let's go back down. I guess Robert and Ron down there. Let's try them. We'll leave Charlie open
you
for
got
a while.
Ron has been up for a long time.
Ron said he was on the phone, so I'm waiting for him to respond back. Next in line is Robert Dale.
Hi, John.
How you doing, Robert?
Okay, yeah, Robert here in Illinois.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Yeah, I always enjoy these, by the way. These are incredible. I wouldn't miss them if I had to. But and I wish everybody felt that way. One thing, you know, we've got a good group, and we've had an assembly for a number of years anyway, as I mentioned previously, but we have different levels of expertise in our group, of course. Then we're bringing in new people that have no background in law, and mm-hmm. I love it. We need them. We need
absolutely.
Them as part of us. So you got the high level, the guys that know law better than most of the attorneys, and then you got the guys that are coming in. And one of
right, and the law you're talking about hopefully is common law. The attorney exactly. law is statutes, and that we don't even need. Well, we do need statutes, don't get me wrong, because statutes do play a role. It plays a role in controlling bureaucrats, municipalities, elected officials, commissioners, appointed individuals. That's what statutes are for. And sometimes a statute is written so that if they break the law, there's going to be it becomes a crime, and then there are, you know, of course, consequences. You know, so many years in jail is available, and so on and so forth. But the grand jury really gets to decide on that, by the way. And this is a very important point. The grand jury not only gets to decide on whether they think that you know, they look at the law and the facts together and make their decision. They also get to decide on what the punishment's going to be. And really, you know, courts shouldn't be really there to punish, but to really repair the problem, repair the injury, repair the injured person. And in the process, if we really think this out and really look for good justice, we will find maybe we'll even be repairing the person who was the defendant and maybe change a mind and a heart in the process. So we need to be looking for that too, because we're about justice, we're about honor, we're about mercy. You know, that's what we're about.
Right, as
but
I
you had another thing you wanted to say, though.
Well, yeah, and as I understand it, the statutory law really governs them. It doesn't govern the people. So right. We can hold them to account to their own law, but
exactly.
In common law, we're superior to their law.
Right.
But, one of the things that comes up a lot is, you know, when you get into this, you know, how do you write an indictment? How do you write a presentment? You know, is it going to stand? Have you met all the elements of a valid cause of action? You know, these kinds of
There is no cause of action. No. If you have an injury, that's where you begin. The party has been injured. How have they been injured? And when you start to look at that, we will start to teach and train people different ways of writing this. We do have a few examples, and we have a lot of people in the background ready to assist us with different things. And we'll start doing some examples. And what you're going to find after a while, that this is real simple. It's nothing difficult. You know, we don't need to be writing codes and this and that and the other thing. Hey, we're plain people. Let's talk in plain language. You know whether a law was broken if someone's injured. Okay, and you know what happened. Hey, the guy got beat up or they got robbed or they got this or they got that or whatever it is. Or, you know and I know and we can write it up in simple terms, really, if we want. I mean, we can go and look at certain things, and we'll learn about that. But ultimately, you know, it's all really common law is all about logic, and mercy too. You know, so you have to work it out—the heart and the mind together—to figure out what it is, and you decide what to do. And again, the last thing we want to do is write a presentment or an indictment. That's the very last thing we want to do. We want to try to settle it before we even have to write those things. You see, the law system we have today is not justice. They're courts of injustice. All they want to do is indict people, put them in jail because there's money to be made there, and they write these laws, and they, of course, they got to keep the slaves under control. So that's what it's all about. It's controlling your behavior, and it's all about money. Every time someone goes to jail, there's money filling the pockets all over the place. You have to understand that's how wicked it is. And then they throw the injured party out in the street. They bring them in for a witness and throw them out. And then if they get a fine off these people, they don't even give any of that money to the injured party. I mean, and they don't care what happened. Courts of injustice. That's not what we are about. The people are about trying to get justice and to find it to the best of their human abilities. And so it's not about putting people in jail, because that's not justice. You know, if, yeah, a murderer we're going to have to deal with incarceration and certain other violent crimes and stuff, but generally speaking, putting to jail, we're not here to punish. We are here to find justice. And justice is making restitution to the individual that was injured, and in that process, maybe a better heart of the individual that violated that other person. So, you know, again, that's what you have to figure out when you get into a grand jury room, and then eventually if it goes into a trial and you're sitting on the trial jury, you got to figure out what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And right. That's and then you got to be able to sleep with your decision. And that's the key thing here.
And I know the bottom line for common law, when we all say it's as simple as do no man harm, but then again, you've got, you know, Blackstone wrote volumes and volumes on common law. So you got the two ends again pulling against each other, the simplicity and the complexity. And so, you know, somewhere along the way, we have to find that middle ground.
Well, again, you know, again, it gets back down to really human behavior, human interrelationships. Look, at the first order of business when someone is it comes in that's injured is not only to discover, okay, what crime was committed and by who and so on and so forth. We also have to discover, well, what do you think would be the just thing? I mean, of course, they say, well, I think they should go to jail for 20 years. That's not the answer. No. You know, we got to figure this out, and we also may have to change the minds of the injured party, too, because they have to understand that, we're looking for real justice. And putting people in jail and punishing them that way, it doesn't do anything good for society, because they're taking a criminal or an individual that made the wrong decision or whatever the case may be, and we're putting them with other criminals, and they become more hardened criminals. They're becoming more separated from society. And, you know, when a person comes out of jail, you know, if there is a, you know, a time period between jail and actually finishing off their period of time, you know, or they're paying restitution, whenever that is done, they need to be accepted completely back into society with all the rights they'd have if they never even committed that crime. Because other than that, we're just shunning them and driving more hatred and anger in the individual. And really, we're trying to work out justice. And so, again, that gets back to the people deciding. I think it's more about thinking about the human relationship and what's going on and what happened. And I think it's more of a human thing than a law thing. Because remember, law is whatever we say it is. Law is what the people say it is. When the grand jury decides their decision, that becomes the law for that case. That's it. It's done.
Yeah.
It's going to be applied. Yeah. And it's a logical and heart thing. It's working both, you know, heart and mind.
Yeah. The only other thing that comes to mind, too, I'll make this my last one, is two things. How to conduct a jury meeting. And are there templates that might aid those that are just getting started in writing presentments? You know, so how to conduct, and then are there templates?
We have a template, but it's so simple, it's almost pathetic, but it is very simple. You know, it's the beginning and the end, and really what took place goes in the middle. And so we do have kind of a template for how to write, and writing a presentment is pretty much the same thing as writing an indictment. The only difference is it's labeled differently. But we'll get more into those kind of details shortly.
How to conduct the meeting?
Well, conducting a meeting, really, you know, you have to have the foreman, of course, is in charge of the meeting. So he's kind of up there with the hammer, you know, so to speak, okay, and keeps the order going, you know, okay, you know, let this person talk first, and then, okay, what do you got to say? You know, that kind of thing. And of course, they're there sort of for a while, you know, well, for always, really, to make sure that people have the right mindset, that they understand the principles, that they understand that they took the four-hour course that we're going to put, that we got together. We may, you know, add a few more things in there. Someone said to me we should write something down very simple, you know, on the principles and what a crime is. And we do have that written down, but we don't have it compiled in a place where we can put it with that course. So that's something good to have. We also have the handbook that we created. You can download it in PDF form right off of our grand jury orientation page. I think it's number 606. And eventually we will get that into the booklet and available to all the grand jurors. I haven't even thought about it in the last couple of weeks because I've just been so busy with other things. I got to get back on the phone and call these people because I still haven't got a number from them. I guess they forgot me or something. But those things will be helpful is the handbook, because the handbook really tells them and tells us what the law really is, in the principles, that is, and also guidelines, and also what a crime is, and things of the nature of for every injury there must be a remedy type thing. So, you know, I think that handbook is probably one of the key things to really appreciate our mindset. That's it, the handbook.
Under court access.
It's under, no, it's in, let me show you here, it's jurist orientation, okay. This is the page everyone should be devouring, right here, the jury orientation, okay. Takes a while to open this page, I'm waiting for it to catch up with itself so it'll scroll down. There it goes, finally. Okay, you'll see down about 06. There it is. Oh, no, that's not it. 07. Download the PDF copy right here.
Oh, yeah.
You can download it. Now, you can also click to order these in pocket handbooks, but we don't have them yet. We did set the page up. It's coming soon, as you can see. But until that comes, people does have the availability in a PDF download. And that, this is probably when you get, you know, all of this is important, these videos and everything, but this is the thing that you're going to stick in your top pocket, you're going to have with you all the time. The sheriff's going to have it, the deputy's going to have it, the bailiff's going to have it, the judge is going to have it, every jurist is going to have it, every deputy's going to have it, and this is the most important document we have up there, I think.
A lot of it deals with just mostly like just a trial jury, I noticed.
Oh, no, it deals with everything. It sets the judge in motion. There's pieces there for the sheriff. There's pieces there for all of the players, and yet it's there for all of us. So it really does lay out the law, and especially for the judge is going to have a heart attack. He's going to go into a cardiac arrest, and he'll revive eventually, and he'll get over it. But when he reads that, that's what's going to happen.
Thank you, John. This gives me so much hope. You have no idea.
I mean, the fact that we're doing this gives me a lot of hope, too. I mean, thank God that he's, revealed this to numerous people, and we're able to share it with more people. Because our eyes were just opened recently on this ourselves, too. So, and the growth has been phenomenal. We're growing very quickly. So,
absolutely.
It's very, very, wow. It's a relief.
Yeah. Thanks again.
All right, who's next? Anybody else out there? Charlie. Is Charlie back yet? Let's see if Charlie's back. Go ahead, Charlie. You got the mic. We're not hearing you, Charlie.
Yeah, I hear something. He has one bar in his cell. It keeps kicking him off.
Charlie is a she. That's Charlie, yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Yes. She, I apologize.
She certainly is.
Sorry, guys.
Now, Charles above Charlie is a he, okay?
Yeah, he's a he. Yes. Charles McCain. Yeah. Good evening, John.
By the way, thank you for that mail I got today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I wish that it was far more than that, but anyhow. John, regarding the voter registration,
yes.
About an hour ago you were talking about, calling upon the people. Are you referring back to the voter registration, which is public
information? I lost you, Charlie. Is it me that got lost or just Charlie?
No, you're Charlie. There. I hear you.
Okay, we lost Charlie. I don't know if she can hear me. So.
Well, she was wondering when she, you said calling upon the people, I guess, right. to serve on the juries.
Yeah, I know, but I want to make sure she can hear us before I respond to the answer.
Oh.
Maybe, Charlie, if you can't talk, maybe you can send a text message to us to let us know you can hear, and I'll respond. Otherwise, I'll hold off responding to that question.
I just wanted to make another point clear. You know, some people have trouble getting rooms in their county seats, and I had trouble in my county seat because there, you know, I was always very politically active, and it just so happens that the guy that runs the grand jury selection, who is also the county clerk, who is also the ex town judge,
wow, really talking about control,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah. And so, you know, I sensed that there was going to be, I went around and I tried to get a building in the county seat, and I was getting resistance, and I just felt that, you know, we're not looking to fight to get this room if we can help it. And so what I did is I just went to the next town over, and I got a library, which is close enough to a public building. So it doesn't really matter per se. I mean, we would like to have it in the city or county, but it doesn't have to be. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a public building either, but if you can get one, it's the credibility we're trying to raise, and we won't want them to say
it's
that we
it's very important that we stick to public buildings unless it's an absolute impossibility. Remember,
right.
there's libraries, and even as you move further and further away, you know, you could do the libraries. I was talking with Corey earlier today, and down in Manhattan, he's in New York City, and he was having a problem. I think it was Corey, wasn't it you, Corey? I think having a problem trying to get a place, and they were moving further and further away from the county seat, so to speak, finding a library. So,
but nevertheless, I wouldn't let it stymie me, and there's got to be a library or something somewhat public that you can get. I mean, it depends on who you know and how much you want to fight. I mean, you know, I'd like to kind of stay under the radar till we get our four or five or six counties around us. And then we all file, and at that point, you know, then you can kind of stick your foot down on other stuff, you know. But I just, I didn't feel like to have a battle with these people right now while we're instituting was worthwhile, you know what I mean? So, like I said, I got a library, and that should be good enough. So,
right. That's
use
a public
your imagination.
Building. Matter of fact, yeah, right. we the people own that, just like we own the town hall, so.
Okay, Charlie. Yeah. She is back online, and she says, can the voter registration list be used for informing about the lawful?
Well, I don't think we necessarily have to use the voter registration list. Just because they're voters doesn't mean that they need the phone call, and the people who aren't registered doesn't need the phone call. I think what we have to do is really work in our communities. And this is where we also have to get involved with the committeeman process, by the way. You know, we teach the committeeman process. We kind of put it to the side, and we're really focusing in on this. But once this thing is taking effect and moving, we're going to be pushing the committeeman process, too. That's one of the order of businesses when we become grand jurist here in New York, is to have them reinstated again, the elected committeeman. But you see, once we get the committeeman process back to the people and out of the hands of these private associations, which are destroying, that destroyed our political process, we need to get it back to the people. Now we have an individual in every single election district. So, for instance, my town, for instance, I think we have something like 17 or 16 election districts. And so it breaks up the town pretty good, and it's reasonable. You have one elected committee man for each party, so you have two parties particularly, and you may have other parties too, so you have more the merrier. So you'll have at least two parties, so you have two individuals that are elected committee men, and they need to go out and be talking to their people in their election district. And we can utilize that whole workforce to really get the message out along with their message to the people that they need to get involved with the jury. It's their duty. But we'll create some flyers, and then they would go out and hand it out personally, along with also information for people to become committeemen. Because, you know, the committeemen process, You should be in it for 2 years and then move over and let someone else take your place. Unless there is no one else, then you can take it another 2 years. But we suggest go 2 years and then move over. Let someone else come in. And so everybody should get into that system, and everybody also should be getting into the jury. And that's another place we can do it also, is we can go after all the committee men and encourage them to sign up to become jurists. But before we do that, we have to get rid of these two private associations that are destroying us. Remember, the elite are controlling the entire country by controlling the political process, by controlling all of the committee men, quote-unquote, they're not even elected, but controlling all those people through the two-party associations. And the judicial process is completely controlling our judicial courts through the minions of the New World Order, which are lawyers and judges that belong to the Bar Association. And what you have to understand is there's only two powers in the country, only two, the political power and judicial power. And once we take both of, once we take the judicial power, we control it all anyway. But we also need to get back and take control of the political power too, and bring that back to the people. So anyway, that is a way to get word out to the people, sort of in each one of these election districts. And we can go on a mailing campaign. We can go on a phone calling campaign. And remember, the state is going to pay for all this because it's the people's business. It's the business of the state that the people are doing. And so they have to pay these bills. And whatever it is we can do, we need to get campaigns, commercials going. We need to re-educate our children in the schools, kids that are in high school and stuff, in college. We need to start re-educating them and getting them prepared for coming into the system. So we'll be going on big campaigns until it becomes part of our fabric, that everyone grows up and realizing at some point they should become a committee man. You can't make them, but they should. And at some point they all should sign up for the jury. And when called, if they can do it, do it. And if not, we'll recycle you. We'll call you next time. But it's our duty. This is the job of the people. Either they want to be free or not. And you want to be free, you got to take control. And that's the bottom line. Charlie, did you want to come back on that? Charlie? Technical assistance, I guess. Let me open up Vivian while we're waiting for Charlie to come back. Vivian.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you still had your hand up.
Yeah, I would like to ask you if our donations are tax deductible.
We don't even deal with taxes, so no, there wouldn't be, because taxes are unconstitutional, you know?
Yeah, I'm very happy to hear that, because scary nowadays to donate. I mean, I will donate, but I don't want the tax to be involved.
Right. Yeah, we don't deal with any of that, and you won't have to deal with the tax man once justice is back, because all that is a fraud.
Right.
So, and anybody who can donate, since the subject came up, yeah, we definitely need donations. We do ask everybody, you know, if they can send us $20 occasionally, $20 a month maybe, or $10 a month, or whatever they can. Some people can send more, and, hey, we appreciate it. We do need money, so, you know, anybody can send in. Do we have a donation button here online? Let's see. Right here on the left. There's our donation button. Click on that, and there's different ways that you can donate right online through PayPal or credit card or through the mail. So, either way. Anything else, Vivian?
No, nothing more. Thank you so much, though. I look forward every Monday to come to the webinar.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are giving us hope, and we need it.
Well, we're giving each other hope. You know, if we're only two or three, there'd be no hope. But with all the people coming in, and everybody's a leader here, because, you know, there are times to lead and times to follow. And we all have to become leaders, and we all have to become followers. depending on the appropriate time and who's there and who's capable of leading the best at the moment. But every state needs leaders. Every county needs leaders. And they also need, you know, lots of people to participate. So. Anything else, Vivian?
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you. I want to say that our country needs a lot of prayers.
Oh, that's the key to this whole thing. Without that, we have nothing. So, amen. Okay, Charlie, are you back? Let's open up Charlie. Charlie, are you back? Anybody else has a question or a comment or something, raise your hand. And again, remember, we need to be talking to the other people in our counties and our sister counties, not only getting them involved, but also getting them to the meetings, getting more active, getting out there learning, and let's do this thing right. Let's do it honorably. Okay, that's the key thing, honorably. Brian, you got the mic.
Welcome back,
Yeah, Brian, there's noise in the background. Can you lower the noise?
Yeah, hang on a second. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Hey, I got a quick question. I'm in Butler County, PA, and we're getting ready for our vote here in the next couple of weeks, and I had
Don't forget to send us the info so we can post it.
Yeah, you already have it, actually. Okay. And went to a township building, Cranberry Township, in here, and the guy wouldn't post for us, but what we did was went ahead and had him fill out a kind of a receipt. He signed it and so on and said he wouldn't post it for whatever reason.
Right. Well, you'll be talking to him soon, right? Won't you?
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, and remember, you're not on a witch hunt. You're not gonna. You could scare the hell out of him if you want, but don't indict him. They're just useful idiots, you know.
Yeah, that was my my understanding. I mean, I spoke with him on the phone. I didn't speak to him direct. With my stepdaughter actually went over and she called me when I was at work. But my thoughts on that were that he's doing what he has to do. That's fine. We don't want to have any confrontations there as long as we make the effort to get the post up. Is it necessary that it's actually posted?
No, you did due diligence. Look, here's the fact of the matter is we don't have to run an election. We could just rise up, file the papers, and do it. But we're doing it an honorable way, a way that they could never say that, oh, you're just a bunch of disgruntled people. No, we're inviting the whole world in. We want everyone to know we are doing the just thing, the honorable thing, and we're doing due diligence. And when someone gets into the way of that, there's nothing we could do. But we are posting every town that's possible. We're posting, we're putting the ads in the newspapers. We're educating the people with a 30-minute video clips. And after they watch that, they get the chance to decide that they want the grand jury. And it's been unanimous everywhere we've heard so far. And they're all invited to come in. We get some new sign-ups that way, too. And then people have questions after, and you do the best you can to answer questions. And then you get them on to here. They can ask questions here. And if we come stumped with questions, people ask questions, and if we don't have the answers, we will find them. But we do the best we can.
Yeah, and the couple other boroughs, townships that we went to, my wife actually went to, and she's dealing with an admin person at the front office who really doesn't have a clue what's going on in most cases, I don't think. But we did the same thing there. We just dropped it, had her sign a receipt saying that we had actually given it to her and she had received it. Mm-hmm. And then, they check with whomever they have to for their posting approval. So it's either a chairman or a supervisor or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the day is coming.
Anybody else that's going through this?
The day is coming when we're going to walk into these offices and people are going to trip over themselves to serve us, and they're going to call us Mr. or Mrs., and they're not going to be nasty to us, and they're going to get what we want immediately, and they're not going to ask us to fill out one of them stupid forms, and it's going to be a lot nicer in those buildings. And I think they'll feel better about themselves, too, once they adjust to the reality of things. But it's coming. It's coming because we're going to bring that. And again, it gets back to the attitude that we have with them. And, you know, we got to treat them like children and correct them. And sometimes you got to put a little fear in them, and that's fine, you know. But really we're there just to correct them and make sure that they do the right thing and stop people treating people with respect. And when you get a person that you can't fix, well, even when you do fix a person, you got to go up the line. They have a supervisor. They have you could trace that supervisor up to usually a commissioner or something like that, someone appointed. And then you can trace that to the person who appointed them would be an elected official. And so we have to go up those lines to ask the elected official, the supervisor, the commissioner, and then the elected official, how come they didn't fix this problem? Aren't you aware of this? Aren't you responsible? So we got to put them on the carpet, too. And once we do it a couple of times, believe me, they'll be talking to other – the word's going to go out, okay? And they're not going to know who they're talking to or who's going to complain because we're the people. We're the people. And they don't have to be sitting on the grand jury to walk into an office and get respect. They should demand it, and we're the people. You're the servant. And so that's going to happen soon, as soon as we get justice back into our counties and our courts. Anything else, Brian?
No, that's all. Thanks.
All right. Anybody else have anything? I don't see any hands up. Questions or comments? If not, I guess we'll end it for the evening unless someone has something. Charlie, did you ever get back? Charlie?
John, this is the Invisible Man.
Oh, he's back again.
Half an hour.
How do you get in here? Where are you? I never see you.
Gerard,
do you see him?
That's because I'm not there.
Gerard or Lee.
I travel incognito.
Well, lucky you're a nice guy, you know.
Yeah, I don't see him here either.
I play by the rules. I sit and listen quietly. I don't speak out of turn. I waited till no other hands were up.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he doesn't even show up on my list, phone caller.
Right, you got some secret going here, so but go ahead.
I wanted to make a couple comments on a couple of the callers that called earlier.
Right.
The one guy was talking to the attorney about, you know, that they go through this all day long, and he asked the attorney what a counterclaim was, and the attorney didn't know. Well, if he learns the common law, he'll know when it goes into common law, he'll know more. They'll be standing there like deer in the headlights.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
He'll know more than they will. So, and then the other comment, I can't remember what that was. Oh, how do, let's say, like, I've got my four core people, okay, and we go around and do the postings, and let's say 35 people show up, and 31 of them have never heard the term common law, and they don't know really what's going on, and they vote not to have the grand jury.
Well, once they watch the videos, I think they'll go forward with it. But if they don't, then you say that by majority of the people, and if it's a supermajority, you know, most of the people, by majority of the people that showed up, it was decided to go forward. And remember, I'll tell you the bottom line on this. You can have 100 people show up, and 99 of them say no, and one say yes. Guess what? You just put up a grand jury. You know why? Because it's an unalienable right. It's the Fifth Amendment. You see, all we're doing is with these elections is really getting the people out there to become conscious of it and notifying them, doing the just thing, the honorable thing, and getting them to participate. This way, they can, and we want them to sign up, okay?
Well,
this way, they cannot say that you're just a couple of disgruntled people who are trying to seize power by becoming a grand jury or any, you know, so on and so forth. They can't say that. And the fact that we're doing it in 3,141 counties, okay, that's every county across the United States, I know some counties are called something else, and that's included in that number. There's no way. Forget about it. They're done.
And the video that you're talking about playing at that meeting, that's the 45-minute PowerPoint presentation?
Oh, no. If you go up here, okay,
I can't see. I'm not looking at anything. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you where I'm going, and everyone, at least people that are here, okay, will see this, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. You want to go to the jurist orientation page, okay? You click on that, and it always takes a long time to before I can move it, but... there it goes. Okay. It's moving little by little. But anyway, scroll down to number 05. 05 is the election. And we have a 68-minute video that we step you through the election. And all of the documents that we show on that, and including the videos that we show on that, is in this download zip right here. Okay, if you click on the download zip, you get an open zip. You say, okay, open it. And then, okay, I'm not going to wait. Let me cancel that. I'm not going to wait for it to download because it's downloaded down in here. I'll open it up in my file. Which is number 5. Okay. Now, when that opens up, you're going to see inside that file docs and videos. You're going to see the election process instructions. You're going to see a flyer, and you're going to see a readme first update. And this election process, you're not going to have a copy of that, because that's on the – well, maybe it is in there. I don't remember. It could be there, but it's up on the page. Now, you open up the docs and the videos, and there is all the documents that you would have seen on that video, which is 05. There's also another folder in here. It says video, 34 minutes, which actually is less than 30 minutes. So if you open that up, you have the three videos that we play. And if you kind of take this folder with the three videos and put it on your laptop, put it on your thumb drive to move it to your laptop, okay, once you do that and you open this up and you open up wide, all you have to do is click on play all. And it'll start from Admiralty to the nature of the origin of human rights, and then the grand jury. Now, this grand jury here is like about a 10-minute clip. We've reduced the 45-minute clip to the 10 minutes, and the nature and origin of human rights is 9 minutes, and Admiralty law is 10 minutes, Admiralty law and common law. These three videos.
Are those the 10 cartoony videos we saw in the orientation?
The nature and origin of human rights is sort of a stick people video.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It was done by Griffin. Griffin does a lot of great work. So Ed Griffin did that. And the Admiralty law isn't that kind of thing. But then the power of the grand jury is the one that I did, which we have on our front page, 45 minutes, but this is a 10-minute version of that. So we took what we thought was the most important thing, and it is enough. It is enough. These three videos together are very, very, very extremely powerful. I can't even tell you.
I need to go through that whole orientation because I was driving when that happened, the whole workshop. I'm going to be home in a couple days, so I'll try to make a point to sit through that whole presentation when I get home. But
right.
I've been on the road ever since.
A couple of things you want to make sure. I should put some notes up there on this, I'm going to try to remember to do that. But if they have a projector, you know, digital projector available wherever you go, most libraries do.
Yeah, a friend of mine has one, so even if they don't, I can bring my own. So.
Right. If you have one, you should bring it just in case that one breaks down and, you know, you can go forward with it. But I always carry my screen and my projector and speakers. And I have, some decent speakers. They weren't expensive. I bought them in, staples or something like that.
Yeah,
maybe.
I've got some. It comes with a little powered subwoofer and
exactly.
The wall and two little speakers and a powered subwoofer and plugged in your computer. And
they're pretty darn loud. So
yeah,
I would bring them with me for sure just in case they don't set up the sound system. Okay, so you have your speakers. Because there was a case down in Long Island where they didn't have the sound system. They couldn't get it going. But the guy had a set of speakers with him anyway. He had everything with him. I'm the same way. I carry everything with me when I go anyway, just in case.
Yeah, so. I carried my 26-inch TV with me the other day when I met with the four guys.
Yeah. There you go. So, anything else?
So, and then after you have the presentation and you have answer questions and you take the vote, then you'd suggest that everybody that voted yes needs to go learn, go to this website, sign up, learn the common law. Because I just see, because even the four people that I met up with, they're all really intelligent. I mean, one guy carries the Constitution in his pocket. It's so dirty and ripped and stuff that he's had it in his pocket forever. But when I mentioned the word common law, he had no clue what I was talking about.
Right.
But
that's why, bare minimum for a jurist is to go through our course. And again, the people who are not going to be very active, but they're just going to sit as a jurist from time to time, whether it's on the grand jury or the trial jury, those people, the first 4 hours is an absolute necessity for everybody, okay? Because it really gives them a good perspective. And that pocket handbook, they should be reading that too. Those are the most important things. I think between those two things, you'll have people that can take good instructions and will be able to think things out in a common law fashion. Because common law is real, real easy. Ultimately, it's involved with logic and justice. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. Okay? And everybody knows what the just thing is. Just look at the heart and connect it with the mind. But, you know what the just thing is.
When are the handbooks going to be available?
I can get it online, but
when are the hard copy handbooks going to be available?
I know I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't got a price then, and I haven't been paying attention to it. And tomorrow I'm going to hope to get it into my agenda to make the call and find out what's going on with that. And it also becomes a matter of money too. I mean, a few people have been sending money, and I've really appreciated that. It's been paying some of the bills. There's a lot of bills to be paid, but one of the things I'm going to have to pay is to get the initial setup for the handbooks. And once that's done, then people, you can buy them by the hundreds. Then we'll have a page where you can buy them by the hundreds, and maybe, I don't know how much it's going to be, 60 cents, 50 cents, I have no idea yet. So we're going to get them as cheap as we can, but the key is to pay the initial setup for the printing and get the first 100 or something, and then from that point we'll have a good price for that. And each jury is going to want to, order hundreds and maybe 1,000 of them, because you're going to be passing them a lot of people. And in the very beginning, again, we'll be sticking our hands in our own pockets to pay for these things. And if you got 10 people together, 8 people together, 6 people, 12 people, 15, whatever, it gets pretty cheap. It's not going to be a lot of money. But remember, you keep the receipts. The state is going to pay for all of this stuff, because this is the people's business, and the state should provide the cost for the people to do this important job. And they already are. It's just being done by crooks. The people are going to do it. We're going to take that budget money and bring it to the people, and we'll take care of the business of the people. The state can leave their hands out of it. We cannot trust the state to make phone calls, to bring jurors in. We can't trust them at all. We have to do all the administrative work. And it always should be.
And I remember the other comment I was going to make, too. Under the system we have in place right now, they promise private prison corporations occupancy rate. And then they go around and look for people to fill those beds.
That's right, yeah. It's bad. Everybody's making a buck on it. The judge is making money every time he sends people to jail. The town's making money. And all the people that are working in those areas, you know, in the towns and the courts and everything, they're all getting a piece of action. It's all going into their retirement plan. Isn't this nice? They really thought about themselves, haven't they? You know? We're going to take all that money. And we're going to give it back. We're going to have to figure out how to give it back to the people. You know, there's a lot of damaged people out there too. So we do have a big job ahead of us in the beginning. But once things calm down, I think the judicial system's not going to be overloaded, and the jails are going to have a lot of jails closing down and everything.
Well, as soon as we can get that handbook figured out, I mean, I was like, if they're 60 cents a piece, 100 of them is going to be $60.
Right, right.
You know.
Exactly. And don't forget, everybody, you got to buy the seals, too. The seals cost me $57, delivered tax and everything from Staples. I have instructions on the download on how to get that. And I don't know whether I'm clear on that, but you can't write out the word county. You abbreviate the word county, C-O. And you abbreviate, let me see, you may have to abbreviate your state. Did we abbreviate the state, Gerard? Do you remember?
I think Gerard's
I believe
off.
You did.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, because you can only get so many letters around that ring. So, you know, you'll have to count them. They tell you on there how many you can put in. So that's one of the ways to make it work. Because, and we also strongly suggest don't change the layout. Look at it. You got grand jury seal. The word seal is in there. That's a requirement. Grand jury identifies you. You got your state and your county on the top. Okay. In my case, it's Dutchess County, New York. Okay. And then we have the inner rings. In the inner rings, we have common law by the grace of God. And that's written in Latin. Okay. It looks really nice. And then dead center. That date, dead center, 1215, that really tells everything right there because that is the Magna Carta, okay?
Well, and when, I don't know if it would be possible to set up an account with, like, one of the, you know, where did you get it?
Well, I got it at Staples.
Right. I don't know if it'd be, I don't know if would be able to, like, set up a platform at Staples where they already have the seal. We just add our county names and stuff.
Well, each one has to be created individually, and they're not that expensive. And even if we tried to do some kind of a bulk thing, you're not going to save a lot of money. And also, we may be alerting people by doing that.
Not really bulk. It's just that they have the original template already set up. All they're doing is changing the name. So all of the seals.
Well, no. Well. Yeah, I guess they're changing the outer part of the ring. Yeah, because it's the state, county, and. The grand jury
right.
seal stays the same. You're right. I don't know that that would benefit us, and I don't know that I want to get into that kind of a
deal with our.
Well, again, people will do what they want to do. They're free to do whatever they want to do, but we're suggesting they stick with the plan because you know what? When you have a seal that looks the same across the United States and California and New York, and look at, we got common law in there, we got the Magna Carta in there, and we have the grace of God in there, and we have our state and our county in there, and we have the grand jury seal. I mean, everything we need on that seal is right there, and it shows uniformity if everyone's doing the same thing. It's huge, in my opinion. This is power.
Well, and that's why I was thinking if they can have the template already set up, that would be even more uniform.
Well, it is kind of set up because all they have to do is we have the picture right on the website. I mean, if they want, they can actually physically take that paper down to Staples and show it to them and just say, I want this state and county here, and that's it, okay? They write it up, and they can order it right from there, or you just order it online, which we also set it up for you to do there too. But, yeah, I don't want to get into that micromanagement part of it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, whenever I did my seal for my court, I had to send an actual vector file. I had to send a vector file, which is line artwork that they use to actually etch the plates with. The seal that you're talking about, John, this is a impression embossing seal, a corporate seal. Is that
right.
correct?
That's correct.
Does it come with the press?
Well, it's it's a hand squeeze.
I see.
It's made in the press.
Okay.
What do you mean it's made in the press?
Well, it's made all in one unit, isn't it?
No. The seal ring itself pops right out.
The dies do come out, yeah.
Right, the dies come out, and you have the hand thing, and that's it. And every county should have just one seal. Now, some people, at some point later on, we might want to, the die is here, so the die is done, okay? You can go down to Staples, and you can get something for the desk, okay? So it makes it a little easier, and it's got a longer arm on it. So you got the die done. That doesn't have to be done anymore. But every county should only have one seal, and there should be only the main foreman should have that seal, and nothing should leave anything with that seal on it without the main foreman performing that particular act. And the reason that is to make sure everything's done in uniform, properly written up, and so on and so forth. So one person, the main foreman, it needs to be the most knowledgeable person in the game in that county. Okay?
Okay.
Looks like we have somebody looking to ask a question, Richard Brown.
Richard Brown.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, I spoke to you, John, last week, actually. And I had a little problem at Staples. When you actually ask for the seal, they actually try to push you toward the notary seal.
Right.
And you actually have to ask them for the embosser. And I don't know if I'm saying it right, seal. You know, it's not a seal. It's an embosser.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. How do you pronounce that, Lee? Do you know?
You must be talking about embossery.
Embossery,
yeah,
that's
exactly
it.
After
yes.
that.
Right, yeah, you definitely got to
corporate,
one
it's same as a corporate seal.
Well, they wouldn't use it as a corporate seal. Anything that comes up as a corporate seal was a notary seal. So,
right, if you
today,
go online,
actually,
we have the instructions for going online to order it. It's very simple to do, but I'm going to look at it. Here it is. Here's the grand jury seal. And if you take this page down, is this it? No, it's not. Wrong page. Hold on. Here it is. If you take this page down right there, it's a 2-inch grand jury seal, okay? And here's the instructions, details on how to order it. Go to there, you know, on the left, click on copy, click on this, click on that, so on and so forth. You're looking for the 2-inch seal. Of course, this is a lot bigger than 2 inches, so it's blown up. But, you know, basically, if you took this paper down to Staples and say, I just want to change Dutchess County, New York, to whatever your county in your state is, everything else stays the same. This is a beautiful seal. It really tells everything that we are. Look at Lex Naturalis. That's common law, okay? Digratia. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but by the grace of God, okay? 1215 A.D., Magna Carta, your county and state, grand jury seal. I mean, this is really tells it all. And if we do it the same, we really have uniformity. And what we're really sending a message, common law is right here, buddies. This is what we're doing, and this is what the people require. So I think it's pretty powerful.
It's easiest to ask for the embossure seal because when you say, I want that seal, they point you towards the notary seal. They're not that knowledgeable down there.
Right. Well, again, that's why you're better to go online to do it. Here's the instruction to order the seal at staples.com, and you'll get it delivered straight to your house. It takes 7 days. Actually, it took 5 or 6 days. I think it took 5 days, really, but they said for 7 days. It costs $42 plus tax and delivery. It came out to $57, okay? And just follow this instructions, you know? Put your caps and designs as follows. Do everything in caps, okay, by the way.
Well, I followed exactly it with, you know, with the Westchester County instead, which wasn't a problem.
Right.
Just getting them to figure out which one it really was, I had to do the research myself.
Okay. All right. Well, did you get the instructions here, or it wasn't in there?
Yeah, I brought them with me. That wasn't the problem. It's just they're not knowledgeable when you go there.
Gotcha. All right. But anyway, there it is. for those who want to know. Anything else, Richard?
No, that's it. That's, I just wanted to state that so people are going to go do it. Ask for the, you know, imposer. I can't pronounce it right, so I'm not going to try. But ask for that instead of...
There's a lot of words. A lot of words I can't get out of my mouth. I know. I trip sometimes.
But, you know, just ask for that instead of saying, you know, because they'll point you right to the notary seal, and then, you know, it doesn't come up right. So just go for that instead.
All right, let me, by the way, let me end this recording because it's getting too long, so let me stop recording.